Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're looking at agile software development. And we have a really interesting piece by IT governance expert Gerhard Friedrich. It really got me thinking, like, in this development landscape where everything is changing so rapidly, is anything really fixed?
It's a good question. And Friedrich really kind of hits on the core tension here, which is how do we balance the need for flexibility and user input, you know, all that agile champions with structure and commitments, which is what you need to actually get things done.
Yeah. I mean, we've all seen how software development has shifted away from that old waterfall method to something that is way more dynamic. But does that mean we can just ditch detailed planning altogether?
Well, Friedrich uses this really great analogy to illustrate the point.
Okay.
He compares agile development to urban planning. So think about it. If you're building a single house, you have a lot of freedom to just change things as you go.
Right.
But if you're designing a whole city, you need some overarching design principles in place.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you end up with chaos.
That's a really vivid picture. So how does that translate into, like, actual agile practices? I'm imagining, like, zoning regulations for code or something.
Exactly. So think about things like user stories, which are essentially descriptions of what the users want the software to do. In our city analogy, these are like individual building permits.
Right.
And you need those permits to ensure that each building fits into the overall plan.
Okay, so even though Agile is all about adapting to change, we still need that initial blueprint, those user stories, to guide development. But does that mean that users are just kind of handing over a wish list and letting IT do the rest?
Not at all. Friedrich is very emphatic about user responsibility in Agile.
Okay.
He argues that users actually need to be actively involved throughout the entire process, not just at the beginning.
So it's not just brain into device anymore. Like, we can't just download our thoughts directly.
Not quite. It's more like users become co-creators working alongside IT to really shape that final product.
Okay.
And that means users have some homework to do.
Homework like learning to code?
No, not necessarily. It's more about defining their needs clearly and deciding what kind of IT support they really need. And Friedrich actually says that users must determine which type of IT support is worthwhile for which tasks and with which degree of convenience.
Yeah, that makes sense. If you're constantly asking for changes or new features without really thinking through the implications, that can really throw the whole project off track.
Absolutely. This brings us to a fascinating paradox that Friedrich highlights.
Okay.
More user participation actually demands tighter project management.
Wait, so more freedom for the users equals more structure overall. How does that work?
Well, think about it this way. Agile thrives on frequent iterations and adjustments based on user feedback. But all those changes can easily lead to chaos if they're not managed very carefully.
So it's like a constant balancing act, keeping things flexible enough to incorporate those changes, but structured enough that the project doesn't completely derail.
Exactly. And that's where strong project management comes in. Friedrich lists things like clear task assignments, decisive leadership, and disciplined collaboration as essential for keeping agile projects on track.
So it's not enough to just say, okay, we're agile now. You need the right framework and the right people to actually make it work.
Yeah.
But I'm still curious about that user responsibility piece. Does Friedrich give any specific examples of what that looks like in practice?
He does. He talks about the need for users to really clearly articulate their needs, provide timely feedback, and be willing to make decisions and stick to them even when things are in flux.
That sounds challenging. It's almost like users need to be mini project managers themselves in a way.
In a sense, yes.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean they need to become technical experts.
Right.
It's more about understanding the process, being proactive, and communicating effectively.
So it's not just about what the software does. It's about understanding the why behind it from the user's perspective.
Exactly. And Friedrich makes an interesting distinction here between two types of change. He calls them first order and second order change.
Oh, okay. I'm intrigued. Lay it on me.
All right. So first order change is about modifying something within a system. So think about rearranging furniture in a room.
Okay.
You're changing the layout, but the room itself stays the same.
Got it. So second order change is like knocking down walls and building an extension.
You got it. It's about fundamentally changing the system itself. And Friedrich argues that while Agile excels at those first order changes, tweaking features, fixing bugs, you still need a robust IT architecture to support those bigger second order transformations.
It's like you can rearrange your furniture all you want, but if the foundation of your house is crumbling, you're in trouble.
Exactly. And that's where Fridrik gets a little controversial. He's actually skeptical about user-led development for those complex second-order changes.
Okay.
He uses the analogy of house building again. Sure, you can buy prefab homes and assemble them yourself. But if you're building a skyscraper, you need an architect, right?
Right, you wouldn't want me designing a skyscraper. So he's saying there's still a place for those expert IT architects, even in this agile world.
Absolutely, and good architecture requires more than just occasional input from IT.
Yeah.
It needs to be baked into the process from the very beginning.
So it's not just about users and IT working side by side. It's about recognizing the unique expertise that each side brings to the table.
That's a great way to put it. And ultimately, I think that's Fridrik's key message. Agile doesn't absolve either users or IT from the responsibilities. Users need to be clear about the why of the system. And IT needs to make sure that the how is technically sound.
It's a shared responsibility then, and it sounds like communication is key. Speaking of which, we've been talking a lot about Fridrik's ideas, but I'd love to hear what our listeners think. Have you experienced this tension between flexibility and structure in your own work? Hit us up on social media and let us know.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your thoughts. But before we go, I want to kind of build on something that we touched on earlier.
Okay.
The idea that more user involvement actually requires more structure, not less.
Right. The paradox of participation. It seems counterintuitive, but it makes sense when you think about it. More cooks in the kitchen, you need more organization to avoid chaos.
Exactly. And I think this has major implications for how we think about agile project management, especially when it comes to communication.
Ooh, this is where it gets really interesting. I'm ready to dive deeper, but we'll have to save that for part two. See you soon. Welcome back, everyone. We're picking up our deep dive into agile development specifically. That intriguing paradox we left off with more user involvement actually demands tighter project management.
It is a concept that can really trip people up. You would think more flexibility for users would equal less structure overall, but it's actually the opposite.
It's like planning a group trip. If it's just you and a friend, you can be pretty loosey-goosey. But add a few more people and suddenly you need like a detailed itinerary and clear communication to avoid complete disaster.
That's a great analogy. And it highlights the really critical role of communication in agile environments, especially with high user involvement. Because if users aren't really crystal clear about what they want, or if IT kind of misinterprets those needs, you end up with a system that might be technically sound, but doesn't actually solve the problems that it was designed for.
Right. It's like ordering a pizza with all the toppings you love, only to get a plain cheese pizza delivered. Technically, it's still pizza, but definitely not what you had in mind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how do we prevent those communication breakdowns? Fridrik doesn't explicitly address that in his blog post, but I think his urban planning analogy offers some valuable clues.
Okay, let's revisit that city analogy. How does it apply to communication in agile projects?
Well, a well-designed city has clear zoning regulations, right? You know, where residential areas are, where commercial districts are, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
These regulations, they provide a framework for development, but they don't stifle creativity or innovation.
Mm.
In an agile project, we need to establish similar zoning regulations for communication.
I see where you're going with this. So instead of zoning for buildings, we're zoning for information flow. We need to define how user needs will be gathered, how feedback will be provided, how decisions will be made.
Precisely. And just like zoning regulations can be adjusted over time, these communication protocols should be flexible enough to adapt as the project evolves.
So it's not just about having the right processes and tools in place. It's about having that shared understanding, that common language for communication.
Absolutely. And that brings us to another really critical point. The people involved. Just like a city needs skilled urban planners, an agile project needs individuals who can facilitate communication, mediate conflicts, and keep everyone moving in the right direction.
We're talking about project managers, scrum masters, you know, those folks who are really good at herding cats, so to speak.
Exactly. And it's not just about technical expertise. It's about having strong communication skills, being able to listen effectively, and really understanding the different perspectives involved.
It strikes me that this human element often gets overlooked in discussions about Agile. We tend to focus so much on the processes and the tools, but ultimately it's the people who make it work, or break it for that matter.
You're absolutely right, and I think this is a great opportunity to bring in some real-world examples. Have you ever been part of an Agile project, either as a user or on the development side, where communication was a major challenge?
Oh, definitely. I remember one project where the user stories were so vague and open to interpretation that we ended up building something completely different from what the client had in mind. It was a classic case of lost in translation.
Oh, wow. And what could have been done differently in that situation?
You know, in hindsight, I think we needed clearer communication channels and more frequent check-ins with the client. We also could have benefited from a dedicated project manager who could have really helped bridge that communication gap between the development team and the client.
Those are great points. And they highlight how, even with the best intentions, things can really go sideways if communication isn't a top priority.
For sure. But on the flip side, I've also been part of Agile projects where communication was incredibly smooth and efficient. You know, we had daily stand-up meetings, we used collaboration tools like Slack, and we were constantly sharing feedback and ideas. It felt like everyone was really on the same page and working towards a common goal.
That's fantastic to hear. And that's a great example of how, when communication is done well, it can really supercharge an Agile project.
Absolutely. So to our listeners out there, we would love to hear your own experiences. Have you encountered any communication triumphs or disasters in your Agile adventures? What are your tips for making communication work in these really fast-paced environments? Share your thoughts with us on social media. We are eager to hear from you.
Yeah, and while you're thinking about that, let's shift gears a bit and delve into another crucial aspect of Agile development that Friedrich highlights: the delicate balance between embracing change and maintaining some level of stability.
Okay, so we've talked about the importance of structure in communication. But how do we avoid getting so bogged down in planning and process that we lose the flexibility that Agile is supposed to offer? That's a tough one. Where do we even start with that?
That is a tough one.
Yeah.
It really is like walking a tightrope, isn't it?
Yeah.
You need to be adaptable and responsive to change. But at the same time, you need some guardrails in place to keep the project from veering completely off course.
Exactly. And Friedrich offers a really insightful way to think about this balance.
Okay.
He argues that we need to distinguish between two levels of stability in Agile development. So on one hand, you have the stability of the overall system architecture. Think back to his house building analogy. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be constantly shifting the foundation of the house, right?
Right. That would be disastrous. So that foundational level of stability needs to be pretty solid. Mm-hmm. But what about the other level?
The other level is the stability of individual components or features within that system. And here, Friedrich argues, we need to embrace a much higher degree of flexibility and adaptability. So it's like the foundation of the house needs to be strong, but you can rearrange the furniture all you want.
That's a great way to put it. And this distinction has huge implications for how we approach Agile development.
Okay.
It means that while we need to be really thoughtful about those big architectural decisions early on, we also need to build in mechanisms for ongoing iteration and improvement at the feature level.
So concretely, what does that look like? Are we talking about specific tools or techniques?
It can be a combination of things. On the technical side, it might involve using modular design principles, where different components of the software can be easily modified or swapped out without affecting the overall stability of the system.
That sounds like it would give developers a lot more freedom to experiment and iterate.
Exactly. And on the process side, it might involve using techniques like A/B testing, where you release different versions of a feature to a small group of users and then analyze the data to see which version performs better.
So you're constantly gathering feedback and using that to refine and improve the product even after it's been launched.
Exactly. And this is where that close collaboration between users and IT becomes so critical. Users are the ones who can provide that real-world feedback on what's working and what's not.
So it's a continuous loop, right? Design, develop, test, gather feedback, refine, repeat.
Precisely. And this highlights a really important point. Agility isn't just about speed. It's about learning. It's about using data and feedback to make smarter decisions and build better products.
This has been so insightful. I feel like I'm starting to see Agile development in a whole new light. It's not just about trendy methodologies or buzzwords. It's about a fundamental shift in mindset.
Absolutely. And I think Friedrich's blog post does a brilliant job of capturing the nuances of that shift.
Hmm.
He reminds us that Agile is not a silver bullet. It's a journey. And like any journey, it requires careful planning, clear communication, and a willingness to adapt and learn along the way.
Beautifully said. So to wrap things up, what's the one key takeaway you hope our listeners will walk away with today?
I think the biggest takeaway is that Agile development is all about finding that sweet spot between flexibility and structure, between user needs and technical expertise, and between embracing change and maintaining stability. It's a complex dance, but when done well, it can lead to incredible results.
Couldn't agree more. Huge thanks to Gerhard Friedrich for sparking this fascinating conversation. And to our listeners, we hope this deep dive has given you some food for thought as you navigate your own Agile adventures. Until next time, happy coding.